believe that we are way before our actual birth, we came into being. In our mother's womb as we grow, but we celebrate the day when you became external, when you became noticeable, when you became people could see you. It's a day of new beginning. Each year we recognize and maybe celebrate the completion of another year, right? When we complete a year, you get a gold star. It's called a birthday cake, right? And so you had to complete the year. I wanted to make it so you start out with a birthday. But you celebrate the anniversary of each birthday. Each day, each moment when it comes around to that day when you experience a new beginning, we celebrate or we recognize that many times in our culture. Just so you know, October the 5th is the most common birthday in the United States. So if you're on that day, you're among the most common. That's the most births happen on October the 5th. The least number is May the 22nd. So if that is your birthday, that is the least number of days people being born on May 22nd. A birthday. A recognition of a new beginning, a day of beginning. 14 years ago today was a day of new beginning. New life was born 14 years ago this very day. 14 years ago, the first time a body of believers gathered together in a yard of someone's house, and we had a worship service the second Sunday in August. We became noticeable that day. We became proud. We proclaimed that we are alive this day. And we're going to be moving this day. We have joined together. The Lord had given birth to a new body of believers. And we were joining together to worship God. New life gathered for the first time. And I made these statements that very first gathering. And I'm going to make some of the same statements I made several years from the last 14 years. God is going to use us, this body, to bring new life to many. I can remember saying that. It was a nice day. The second Sunday, not so much, it rained and we were outdoors. But the first Sunday we met was much like this Sunday. And I can remember alongside of the mountain that we were gathered. I can remember the echo. As these statements were proclaimed, that this is what's going to go on through this body of believers that God has given birth to. God doesn't just give birth to a body of believers just so we can coast. We talked about that last week. He gives birth so he can make his proclamation through us. And God is going to use us, this body, to bring new life to many. God will embrace, and people will embrace a new relationship with God. People will embrace a new partnership with God. Dads and moms will find Christ, and their families will never be the same. Teens will come into a new life, a new partnership with God, and their schools will never be the same. Children will come to Christ and walk with Him and not wasting any years. As many of our testimonies include that we walked in opposition to God. And I fully expected and had expected that day when God was going to use us to reach our children. To help moms and dads, to reach our children so their testimony will not be, God freed me from addiction. But their testimony would be, God kept me from addiction. And God used me. And He's used me all the days of my life. I heard Him when I was young and I moved with God. Children will come to Christ and walk with Him, not wasting years. Those who are afflicted with illness are going to be healed. Those who are spiritually empty will have their cups filled. Those who are emotionally scarred will find restoration. Those who have wandered will find a path back to God. Why was God given birth to a new life? To a body of believers. This is the reasons I think that God was giving us a new birth, a new beginning. Those who are hungry will be satisfied. And those who are thirsty will find the well. And those who are running will find rest. Those who are standing in the darkness will stand in the light. And those who have heard of God will now see God. And those who are sitting will be challenged to follow God's call, no matter where it takes them. And those who have been given much will have the chance to be proved faithful. 14 years. How does that happen? How do those statements happen? How do those 16 statements happen? Acts 5 tells us this. Acts 5, 18 and following says, they arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. And he said this to them. Go, stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. At daybreak, they, the apostles, they entered the temple court as they had been told, and they began to teach the people. At daybreak, Peter and James and John and Andrew and Nathanael and James and Judas and Philip and Matthew and Thomas and Simon the Zealot and Matthias, they entered the courts. They'd have been an NFL team. They'd have been flagged for 12 men on the field. They entered the court. They entered the temple court. They had been freed from the prison. They had been freed. And the angel said, I want you to do one thing. I want you to go to the temple courts, and I want you to tell the people about the full message of this new life. And so, as they were commanded, they stepped out, these ragtag bunch of people, these fishermen and these tax collectors and these doubters and these eighth grade educated people and these skeptics and these rookies and these water walkers and these boat huggers and these extroverts and these introverts and these known and the unknown stepped into the playing field. How are those 16 statements going to happen? It's because the apostles are going to step into the playing field. They were a ragtag group of people who were filled with the Spirit and chosen to proclaim the full message of this new life at all cost. They had been chosen to carry this message. They had been chosen to carry the full message of this new life. And filled with the Spirit, and cut to the heart for the people that needed the message. They moved into the playing field. They moved to the temple court. They moved to the place where the people were. People. Sharing with the people the full message of this new life. They were sharing with the dads and the moms. I know we always kind of like, oh, this is just a, they all walked up there and they all had these halos around their heads and everybody just kind of fell on their knees and began to worship God. That's not the way it happened. On that temple court, there were real moms and dads who were really trying to be parents. And they were seeking a way to live their life and seeking a way to be mom and a dad. There were teens on that temple court. There were children on that temple court. And God was sending his disciples, his apostles, into those areas. He said, you got a message to carry. I want you to carry the full message of this new life. Will you do it? Will you carry it to the dads and the moms? Will you carry it to the teens and the children? Will you carry it to those who are afflicted? Will you carry it to those who are spiritually empty? Will you carry it to those who are emotionally scarred? Those who have wandered? Will you carry it to those that are hungry? Those that are thirsty? Those that are running? Will you carry it to those who are in the darkness? Will you carry, he says, apostles, I freed you. And I've given you a mission. Go to the temple court and proclaim the full message of this new life, because on that temple court, there are people who need to step out of the darkness and into the light. There are people who are sitting that need to be encouraged to move. There are people who have been given much, and they need to be encouraged to be proved faithful. And there are those who have only heard about God, and they're about ready to hear from God himself. Are you with me this morning? This is in my, I happened to grab it out with my notes today. Some days this is the way I feel. I'm all cockeyed. Normally, Ariana made me this, and I usually just keep it in my portfolio, but it got it mixed in the middle of my notes. You feel that way sometimes? Do you feel like I don't even know what's going on in my life? God does. And he wants to do something very real in your life. And then he wants to give you the full message of this new life. And he wants you to carry it to the temple courts where there are people who are desperately needing the gospel message, the full message of this new life. There are people who heard about God, but will they ever hear from God through you? People, he said, I need you to go to the people. When was the last time you were moved by the Spirit and moved by the needs of people? When was the last time that people stopped being an annoyance in your life and a call on your life? We're way more annoyed by each other than we are moved by each other. Just so you know, just so I know, I have a mirror, just so I know that when I'm annoyed with people, it's not God. It's me who is annoyed with people. And the apostles were filled with the Spirit, and they lost their annoyance for people, and they moved into where the people needed them. And they were given this message, this full message of this new life. And I want you to carry it to the people. I know that you're a group of ragtag, uneducated, perhaps fishermen, just run-of-the-mill jeans wear. You never tuck in your shirt, but would you just go and take this message to the people who need it? Because there are people who need the full message of Jesus in their life. And will you carry that to them? Will you go to the temple court? Will you go out into the public square? Will you go into the Walmarts? Will you go into the park? Will you go and just listen for me to move you to where I want you to be? Because there are people in those places that need Jesus. When was the last time that I was moved by the Spirit and by the needs of people? I wonder what they were saying to those people. And just so you know, I don't think it was a Billy Graham crusade. Nothing wrong with Billy Graham crusades. But I don't think it was one guy with the other guys kind of keeping track and making sure everybody had a seat. And maybe a couple guys taking up the offering. I don't think it was that. I think it was just a people who were filled with the Spirit and burdened for the needs of people because God had given them that burden on their heart and they were moving in. And I think it just scattered around and I think they just began to share with people. I think God just led them to groups of people. He just led them to individuals. I just think they moved into people's lives. And I think they got rejected at times. And I could just see these small groups happening, these collections of people just having this moment of God, just this moment of God that someone cared enough to step into their life and just bring the full message because the Spirit of God was moving that person to bring God to the person that they're talking with. Am I making sense? Just so you know, aren't you glad that those apostles were burdened for the needs of people? Because without them, you and I wouldn't be sitting here today. And I wonder what they were saying. I wonder if they were being reminded. I wonder when they saw the people flooding their way, the people. I wonder if verses like 4:19 of Matthew came to them. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Can you just imagine that verse coming back to you as you're walking? I told you I was going to do this in your life. I forewarned you, Peter. I forewarned you, Nathaniel. I forewarned you, Matthew, that when you walk with me, you'll be fishing for people. God, this is a big pond. And I wonder if this came back to them. When Jesus told this in John 14:26, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of every good thing I have said to you. I'm guaranteeing you that came back to them, because they're all see the people. They're seeing, all of a sudden they're starting to see the needs of people, and they're starting to see the hurting of people, and they're starting to see the chaos in people's lives, and they're starting to see what's going on. And all of a sudden I think they begin to pray, God, teach me. Show me. I don't know what I'm doing. I can remember one time I got a call, and I've shared this before. I got a call to go, someone not of New Life. And they said, would you go see this person? Would you go see this couple? They're at odds right now. They're going to call you on the phone. And I got a call on the phone, and it was chaos, and it was awful. And you wouldn't want to record the message that was coming over the phone. There was F-bombs being thrown back and forth on the phone. And they said, would you come? And I hung up the phone, and all the way there I said, God, if you're going to give me appendicitis right now, that would be a good time. You know, I would even suffer a broken ankle. I don't know as I want to go there, God. I don't know as I want to go there. And all the way there, God said, go, go, go. And all the way there I said, God, I don't have a thing. I don't know what to say. I don't have an agenda. I don't know what to say. God, you're going to have to do something. Well, I'm willing to go, but I'm scared to go because I don't know what to do. And he met that couple, and the power of God settled on them, and amazing things happened. And God said, that's what I want. Apostles, just go. Just go. What are you saying to them? Teach me. Teach me, God. Teach me. I wonder what they were saying to the people. Maybe John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Can you imagine the first time you heard that? Can you imagine someone coming into your life and saying, you know what? God loves you so much. He loved you so much that he sent his own son to die in your place. You deserve death because of the sin in our lives. But he loves you so much that he stepped in the gap for you. He stepped out of light and into darkness so that you could experience light. He did not come to this world to condemn this world. He came to this world to be a savior to this world. Can you imagine some of the people will hear that the very first time? I know we've heard that so much that we're pretty relaxed when we hear it anymore. It really doesn't even get under our skin anymore, does it? I don't even know if it gave me goosebumps when I read that. But you know that there's 4.65 billion people in this world that have never heard that. Do you know there's people in Blair County? You know, I sat across the seat in a restaurant with a guy just coming back from Iraq, and I shared an ultimate, I shared the gospel with him because that's where the conversation went. And he looked across the table at me, and he said this. He was raised in this county, and he said this. I have never heard that in my life. I have never heard that God loves me. I have never heard that Jesus died for my sin. Amen. I have never heard that Jesus came not to point out what I had done wrong, but to pay for what I had done wrong. God loves you so much. Maybe Matthew 9:9-10 come. And as Jesus went from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came to eat with him and his disciples. Can you imagine Matthew on that Temple Mount? And sitting down with a group of people, and they're saying this, he would never come to my house. Don't tell me he would never come to your house. He came to my house. They weren't just reading the scriptures. They were talking to Matthew. And I think there's a whole generations out there in our community that don't know that Jesus will not turn them away. Look what the next verse says. It says this in John. Now, all that the Father gives me, Jesus talking, will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Isn't that sweet? You're not coming to see if you would be accepted by Jesus. Jesus says, everyone that comes to me makes it. makes the team. Remember in grade school when you used to get picked for the kickball team? And you're like, dude, just don't let me be last. Jesus, I'm telling you what, everybody who comes to me, I will never push them away. We have an amazing message. And sometimes I think we're so caught up in our own garbage, in our own self-centeredness, in our own opinions, that I don't even know if I'm going to the temple court. Am I making sense? Because I'm sweating a lot today. I have written at the end of this message, New Life, either we need to get going or we need to get off. Enough whistling Dixie. I wonder if they were telling him things like Matthew 6:9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Listen, broken family. Listen, right now you can touch the heavenly realm and you can ask God to deliver heaven into your family right now. We can go into the very presence of God and we can ask God to release heaven into the here and the now. You have the right to do that. I wonder if they were teaching themselves like, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where rust and moths will destroy it. What you know what that means to me? Everything that you are doing on this earth, you won't get. You won't notice the repercussions of that until someday. So if you're waiting for instant gratification, if you're waiting for God to show up because you did something over here, he may never show up in that field because he's checked that off in heaven for you. And when you step into eternity, he's going to hand you that on your way into eternity and say, well done, good and faithful servant. But if you're like me, I like to mow the lawn and then get paid. I sold something on Marketplace a while back, and the guy said, will you take the check? I said, not so much. Because I would like to sell something and get paid. And God says, you know what? You're going to do things in my kingdom and you're always not going to get paid until the end. But don't worry, I've got record of it. You're not going to see all the benefits of what I'm doing in and through you until someday. See, I think this is the full message of this new life. It says, do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? For pagans run after such things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I wrote in my notes, it says, worry and seeking God use the same calories, use the same food, use the same fuel. And I wrote that in my notes, and my phone rang. There was a guy I've known from the past. He's a guy my age, and his son is up against some stuff in life. And he says, I don't know exactly what to do. All I do seem to do is worry. And I read that statement to him. I said, worrying and seeking God take the same fuel. Start seeking God. Because that fuel is being burned up with your worry. And then you don't have any fuel left to seek God. You need to seek God with that fuel. And we spent some time on the phone, and we prayed together, and we wept together, and we began to seek God and not use that fuel anymore to fuel the worry in his life, but to fuel the seeking God and the trusting God in his life. I wonder if they were saying things to them like, John 15:5. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I wonder if they were saying, blessed are those who are mourned, for they will be comforted. When the sin comes alive in your life, don't try to push it down. Let God take it from you. I wonder if they were saying stuff like to the Temple Mount people, to the people, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. John 14:12 says this, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Tomorrow we start year 15. In the last 14 years, we have accomplished some. And we have faltered some. This come across my attention this week. This is the Magisterial District 24-3-04. Can you see it? Can you see the whole bottom green part? That's the Magisterial District. The yellow dot is this building. Don't you find it interesting that we're meeting in the center of that district in a township called Freedom? And do you also know that in the last year, the crime rate in that district has increased 51% on our watch? I don't even know where to go. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things because I'm going to the Father. We are in the center of that district. We reside in a township named Freedom. I can remember the day over 14 years ago when I pulled off the highway and God says, I'm pushing you here. And just so you know, I didn't know until Friday that we were the center of that district and that we were in Freedom Township and that the crime rate has increased 51%. No more, no more, no more. We need to rise up, church. We need those apostles who will go to the temple court and proclaim the full message of this new life. We need to get going or we need to get off. Stand with me. I don't know how to end it. God, I gotta admit and just admit I'm angry. I'm angry at myself. I'm angry for maybe not believing that I can do greater things. I'm angry that the crime rate has increased 51%. I'm angry that drugs are sucking the life out of people. I'm angry that people are dying without Jesus. I'm angry that there's alcoholism. I'm angry that people are experiencing broken families. I'm angry because people are under the abusive situations in their life. I'm angry because kids are being abandoned. I'm angry because I'm more worried about my bank account than I am my neighbors. I'm angry because I don't know if I've gone to the temple court and proclaimed the full message of this new life. I'm angry at those who have got off. I'm angry because I coast. I'm angry because you gave me such a message, and I keep it in my pockets. God, help us. Help us, God. Forgive us. And help us to be those who respond to the command of the angels, saying, go to where the people are. Go, because people need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear about forgiveness. They need to hear about freedom. God, you've given us this watch. You've handed us this message. You've given us new birth. And you've invited us to the temple courts. In Jesus' name, help us go. In Jesus' name, help me go. God, may I stand here a year from now, or not. But if I stand here a year from now, will we see the crime rate cut in half? Because these people, us, God, have heard the invitation from you to go to where the people are, be moved by the Spirit, and cut to the heart for the needs of the people. And hand them the full message of this new life. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a day. Bless the